The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up high a mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
In our society, in our times, there are some smart people who think they know a lot, that they deny the presence of the historical Jesus. Somehow they try to cast doubt and say to other people, who is this Jesus? No? In the second reading, we hear St. Paul saying that we are witnesses. We saw these things. They talked to Jesus, lived with Jesus, experienced Jesus. So for anybody now in our lifetime, in our time, to say that Jesus does not exist, simply say to them, read the Bible. Because the Gospels are not myth. They are not made up. They actually heard Jesus speaking, saying things. And today's gospel, Peter, James, and his brother John witnessed this transfiguration. Again, if we only look at Jesus shining, his clothes white as light, what does it mean? We will not appreciate transfiguration if we do not understand who he was talking to, Moses and Elijah. Now again, for us Christians, we may not understand it as much. But Peter, as a Jew, knew Moses and Elijah. As a Jew, Moses and Elijah was very much part of the history of Israel. They represented something important for them as a nation, and most of all, as the people of God. Moses represented what? Again, I hope everybody knows this, the Ten Commandments, right? So every time you hear Moses, you identify Moses with the Ten Commandments, meaning what? It reveals what God wants us to do. It is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. It is coming from God himself. Moses listened to God and wrote it down. So Moses is a revelation of the will of God. And of course, we know that Moses also was what? A kind of Messiah, a Savior to
for the people of Israel. Why? During that time, they became what? Slaves. Slaves to whom? To the Egyptian. They were living in Egypt and they were treated not as equals, but as slaves. And they were maltreated, badly treated. But through Moses, God saved them and brought them back to where they belong, to the land of milk and honey, to Israel. And Isaiah, who is Isaiah? Again, in the Old Testament, he's a prophet. He wrote a lot of things concerning what? When you say a prophet, he is a person that knows what is happening in the future, but for a purpose. The purpose of prophecy, again, is very much connected to God. Fortune-telling is wrong, is evil, it's immoral. Fortune-telling, meaning what? Try to tell the future. But with the prophecy, it's something else. The purpose of the prophecies are to warn people of upcoming events so that people will change their ways. Not to make money, not for any worldly purpose, but to give the people a chance to repent, to change their ways. God is going to send flood. So, better make sure that you repent. So when it comes, you are ready. Not to build bigger houses to withstand the flood, but to repent. So remember, huh? Prophecy is different from fortune telling. So here is Elijah and Moses. Both of them did not like to be chosen as revealing God's will. People hated them. Why? Why would you want somebody to tell you what to do? Why would you say, I like somebody who tells you of bad things to happen? Most probably many of you won't like, or sometimes don't like the priest for saying or revealing God's will and telling you to repent. And what do we do? Who are you to tell me? See, when I was, before I became a priest, when I was sitting like you, I hated priests for telling me what to do, what to think, what to act, how to act, telling me, you know. I never liked it, because who the heck is this priest? He is like me anyway. No? So the problem with me at that time was that I was not seeking the truth. I was simply there because it was an obligation. I didn't want to hear the truth because I don't want to change. And I used the priest as an excuse not to change. So I didn't like the priest. So when I felt the calling, do you think I wanted to be like a priest? No. Because I know people will hate me. People will not like what I say, because it will go against their normal way of life. You know? Nowadays, what is normal? We are now more than ever, the church is going against the tide of worldliness. The church is definitely going against anybody, even the government, if they process or if they make laws against God. Who do you think will go against abortion, directly against abortion? It will always be the church, because the government conceded and made it legal. But we have to do it. We have to go against anything, anybody who will teach you otherwise. Let's face it, when abortion became legal, many believed it's moral. Because some would have some thought, okay, if it's legal, it must be good. And many fell prey because of this. But now more than ever, we're trying to change that law. We're trying to change that mentality, even though many hate us for doing. Again, what is the issue? Oh, you are men. See? When a woman would come, hey, you preach, you are men. That's why you're against abortion. This is my body. I'm a woman. This is my body. Who the heck are you to talk about against abortion? You are a man. You do not understand. Come on. That's BS. The idea of going against abortion is what? Respect for life. That's it. How can you say you are a Christian and then believe in abortion? You know? How can you say that? You believe in the God of life? You believe in the God who gave his life for you to have life and go back to him, the source of life, and then you kill? And look at Moses. What is the Ten Commandments? What does it say? Thou shalt not kill. Pure and simple. So, for us Catholic priests who are men, we are against abortion not because of we are against womanhood, but we are simply protecting the most what? The most helpless of them all. Oh, Father, you the Catholic Church is out of tune. We are LGBT. We are pro-gay. We are pro like this. Oh, we are Black Lives Matter. You hypocrites. You protect the gays, the lesbian, the bisexuals, the transgender because you think they're helpless and you want them treated like human beings, and then the most helpless of them all, the unborn, you do not protect. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? If anybody here are pro for these things and then you believe in abortion, you're hypocrites. How can you protect the rights of these people? Yes, they should be protected because they're human beings. They should not be harmed, even though their way of life is against our belief. But if they are only protecting certain groups and not the most basic of them all, the unborn, tell them to just shut up because they have no moral authority or consistency in trying to say something. But who are these unborn children? Huh? They may be what? Future gays or future black people or future whatever. So if you are protecting this group, you better protect them while they are still what? Unborn. Basic human rights. One time, when I was still in the Philippines, before I came to the States, one of the things that made me angry was the U.S. government trying to tell us what to do with our lives. No? And they are going against human rights abuses. And one of the things that I keep telling myself, and every time I had a chance in the pulpit, who the heck are these U.S., these Americans telling us what to do with our lives here, as if they care about us, but they don't even care the unborn American citizens? Who are they to talk about human rights if they cannot even protect the most helpless? So even then, one of the things that I saw the hypocrisy of the U.S. government was that aspect. Who are you to tell the rest of the world about human rights abuses if you have laws that will kill the unborn? No? I cannot stress enough about the ugliness of abortion. No? And I hope none of you here support abortion. Oh, Father, how about those, again, this is what, I hear these excuses many times. What if it was rape or incest? Still, is the life of the unborn less? Is the unborn less human? Oh, Father, we have to protect who? The name, the good name of the rape person? See, that's the thing. Which is more important, human life or your good name? 9 months of inconvenience, yes. But after that, if we don't want the child, give it away. But don't even use the reason why I had abortion because of good name, because it is inconvenient. See? And do you think many have used that? Yes or no? Many have used, it was inconvenient for me. I was too young at that time. I had no money. In the name of inconvenience, that people have killed unborn children. I'm saying this to you because, again, as Moses and Elijah, we have to tell you what is the will of God. And the will of God is simply to respect life, to respect each other. Imagine if your parents at that time were tempted to kill you when you were still in the womb for whatever reason. See? I don't understand why even one person, again, one famous person, Andrea Bocelli, you know him? I don't know if you know him. He's a good singer, born blind. But while he was in the womb, the doctor said, hey, better get rid of that because he will have some genetic problems. See? How sometimes doctors can be so easy. They have because some doctors have become ruled by convenience. Anything inconvenient, take it out, take it away, or get rid of it. So my dear friends, you and I, we honor today the transfiguration of the Lord. We honor Jesus as God, as Savior. But if we do not follow His will, what's the use? What's the use of being Christians? What's the use of being Catholics? If we go to church on Sundays, but we don't stand by and protect and defend the will of God. No? So make sure that we try to be consistent with our faith. And not simply go to church, just what I did when I was young. Go to church and then after that do nothing. Like the priest, the sacramental priest, you share in the common priesthood. It is also your duty, your obligation to make sure that you preach the gospel, to protect and defend the unborn. Because the unborn is definitely what? Part of God's plan. The unborn is also what? Loved by God. So nobody here should ever even suggest abortion in any form. Because if you did, you better go to confession. You may not have been the one who had the abortion. Do you know that even by suggesting, pointing where the abortion clinic is, you also bear the guilt of abortion and therefore excommunicated? That's how serious abortion is. Again, I can go on and on, but what is important is ask yourself, am I really doing the will of God? Do I really believe and actually defend God's will? Remember, what did God say? What did the apostles hear? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Why is it the Father is pleased with Jesus? Why? Because He was obedient until death on the cross. You and I, God is not pleased with us because we are not always obeying His will, yes or no? And because of that, God is not pleased with us. However, God loves us. And as long as we repent and He sees that we are trying to do our best to fulfill His will, then we'll be okay. But remember what Christ said, nor will I condemn you, but sin no more. A thought just came to me. I have been a priest 31 years, but I never heard anybody confessing that they encouraged somebody to have an abortion. I wonder how many are in hell now. Really in hell for not confessing that they encouraged somebody to have an abortion. I just realize it now. Nobody, I never heard. I heard women confessing that they had an abortion. Thank God that they were able to confess. But I never heard anybody who went to confession admitting that they too have the sin of abortion because they have encouraged somebody to have an abortion. If one of you or some of you are like that, you better think, you better go to confession. Because actually you are excommunicated even if you don't know. No? See? It just came out. It just came out to me and said, I really never heard anybody saying to us, confessing, Father, I caused... Remember this young girl who texted her friend to commit suicide?
That's right.
No?
Yeah.
Do you know that? No. And now she's in prison for doing it because she encouraged it. Of course, she could have stopped, but that's the thing. She persisted. And the person who committed suicide was what? Vulnerable. You don't tell somebody on top of the hotel or a tall building, hey, jump, come on, jump. Some people do that. They make fun of life. No? It's sad, no? When people make fun of life.